In an ever-changing world, Off Hollywood Media presents a voice of truth and inspiration, resonating a vibration of love and understanding, illuminating new paths for new directions, as we, as one, strive for higher and higher levels of consciousness, always remembering life changes. And now, your host, our MC, our master of change, Filippo Voltaggio.
Ciao, everyone. Wow, this is an exciting time, and life is changing at Life Changes as we talk. Well, we say that often, but you know what? It's true, and I have a feeling we're all going to be saying it more and more, and it's going to become a catchphrase because, hey, life changes, and of course, but when we are conscious of it, and when we stay within the moment and recognize that this is part of the process, surprise. And no, not all of a sudden life changed. No, it's that is the constant. So if we accept it and we expect it and we have tools ready to either combat it or deal with it or even affect it positively, especially, then we could all be in a better place. And it's interesting because I needed to be in a better place in many ways. And you know how they say, don't believe what is printed about you in the media, and even good things that are written about me, I usually read it. I have to admit, some of it feels good, but I try not to pay too much attention because I do know that it's a double-edged sword, because I've also read things that it's like, well, I never said that, or at least I didn't say it that way, and They haven't been disparaging things, but they just have been things that I haven't said, and so you just gotta be vigilant, in my opinion, with your consciousness. And in this particular case, Amici magazine wrote an article about me and about the show Life Changes, and What is it exactly? It's a celebrity magazine in the Italian community. Actually, that's their actual tagline. And so they talk about people out there in the Italian community that are doing things and all that. And I just didn't know how they would embrace this. What is it? The National Italian American Celebrity Lifestyle. Andrew Gazzaldo is the editor. And he chose to write this article himself, which I thought was really interesting. And so he called, and we had an interview, and I gave him a lot of information, and then I didn't hear back from him. So I didn't even know if they wrote the article. And then somebody on Facebook said, hey, I just read an article about you in Amici magazine. So I contacted the magazine. I said, I'd love to see the article. And the next thing I know, I get it in the mail. Well, life changes indeed. I didn't expect to read and get what I got after reading this article. I had no idea that I had said these things to him in this way, or he put them in this way based on what he heard me say. And I often say, sometimes we say things but don't know that we're saying them, but we have all the answers. And as I'm reading this, the article literally brought me to tears. It was very flattering, but it wasn't that it was flattering. It was that he got something that I wasn't saying, at least I didn't think I was saying. It helped me learn something about me and about our show. And that was a big deal for me. And literally, it had me in tears. And I didn't know how to thank him. And he had written an article about me before when I was doing a different radio show. And that was just a really pleasant article. But this one changed my life. And I wrote him and I said, thank you. And he wrote back saying, first of all, let me thank you for the compliment that you gave me about the article. However, you as a subject, with all you do and accomplished, makes writing an easy factor. So what he said was that I wasn't getting who I am. And that made me stop and think that somebody else has to tell me who I am. Well, frankly, a lot of people have. I have the benefit of having beautiful people in my life tell me who I am. And the interesting thing is that hopefully I will have read it, heard it, and gotten it for the last time. And I'm very grateful for that life-changing moment that I got from reading this article. And in the article, I'll go ahead and have it posted on Facebook, and we'll put it up on our website so that you all could read it if you're interested. But the one thing that I thought was really interesting is that he focused on, being that it was an Italian magazine, he focused on the aspect of my father and mother being Italian and what they taught me from their heritage and what I took away from it here in America. And it was really interesting how he tied a song in that I've sung in many of my shows, and I've shared this with him. And I've never met the man, actually, and I don't even know if he's ever come to a show, but he's interviewed me twice, and this is what he got out of it. It's really interesting. So my father, the story that he focused on and used it as an example and showed me what it was that I wasn't seeing in all this time. My father didn't want me to be a singer. And I've shared this in live shows, whether it's life-changing events or regular concerts that I've done. And he did all he could to dissuade me from singing. However, ironically, he shared with me so many aspects about singing that did nothing but help me be a better singer. And it's ironic, but since I was so focused on my dad doesn't want me to be me, and my dad doesn't like who I am and what I do, that's where I stayed. And through help from many healers and friends and all kinds of books and whatever, I have come to the other side of that, which is I have to be who I am. But ironically, my dad, I've just recently come to the understanding that my dad's message was that all along. And so in the example of this song that Andrew Guzzaldo mentions in the magazine Amici, he says that I sing the song Santa Lucia, which is one of the first songs my father taught me, and I used it in school for a competition and won the competition with that song. And my father didn't just teach me the song. He said, "Do you see that sky?" It was at night, we were holding hands walking in the evening. He says, "Do you see that sky and those stars and that moon? That's the same moon that your grandmother is going to be seeing tomorrow night. And you see this ocean, because we live near the ocean. That's the same ocean that keeps going around the world and reaches your grandmother in Italy, near where she lives." And he said, "It's the same sun, the same stars, the same moon, the same ocean. But somehow in Italy, us old-timers, we attribute such importance to these things that God is giving us, these miracles of every day." And he says, "I don't think you have the voice to be a singer. But let me tell you something. If you ever sing any song, I want you to convey the song to the people. Since you don't have the voice, in his opinion, to show off and hold high notes and hit high notes and impress people with bravado, then give them a feeling of what the song is trying to say." And he said, "For example, when you sing this song," the one he was teaching me, Santa Lucia, "I want you to feel like you're on a boat in the middle of the Bay of Naples, and you're looking out across the bay as the moon is reflecting on the waves of the ocean, and you are gently rocking back and forth. and you see your bay with the little lights, and you know that your mother is there, and your father is there, your family is there, all your loved ones are there, all your friends are there, and you alone in this boat think to yourself, I am so blessed, I am so lucky to be who I am and to be where I am. And I love everything about my life. And from that place, when you sing that song, people will feel that way about them. And so he started teaching me. Sul mare luccica l'astro d'argento placida e l'onda prospero il vento sul mare luccica l'astro d'argento placida e l'onda prospera il vento venita all'agile barchetta mia Santa Lucia, Santa Lucia, venita all'agile barchetta mia, Santa Lucia, Santa Lucia. And I learned this song, and I've told this story every time that I've sung it, and it's interesting to see the reaction of the people, because they're feeling what I'm feeling, and sometimes I want to cry, and sometimes I want to smile, and they're feeling. And my father taught me, it's funny, I want to cry right now, my father taught me to feel. Feel the music, feel the words, don't try to impress, just be yourself. And he taught me the greatest lesson of all when being in front of an audience. And so now I owe my father a great deal because he helped me with my singing career, but I did not make the connection that Andrew Gazzaldo did in his article where he says, no wonder the tagline of the show is, you've never felt radio like this before. So I thank Andrew, I thank my father, and I thank all of you. I actually didn't know I was going to break out into song. That kind of caught me off guard, actually. I wasn't planning on doing that at all, and my heart is beating very rapidly because something inside of me just changed even more. And so thank you for being a part of that. Our guest tonight has had many life-changing moments and many people with her along the path, but she has come to a place in her life where she has recognized that she is here to do a job on this planet. And it's interesting because at the age of 20, when she was found out that she had cancer, at the age of 20, when after she was quote-unquote cured or at least temporarily healed, because she ended up having cancer 5 more times, she thought she was going to be dying soon. So she did everything. And I mean, what she did, she went to engineering school. She worked at Capitol Records. She was an actress. She worked with Michael Jackson and the B-52s in the rock and roll business. She worked as a director and a producer at NBC, and she was an executive there. I mean, the list goes on and on of what she has done. But what she feels at this point are the most important things for her is for her to be a change agent and a paradigm shifter. And the reason she is on, that is the reason she is on our show today, because she's helping people change lives. And one of the most important parts of all of this that she's come to is that her job is to be a voice for the people regarding health. And it's interesting that she's had health issues, and we'll talk about that, but her movie that's coming out soon is called Pandora's Mouth: A Heavy Metal Misadventure, and it's about mercury. And she's teaching us how mercury is in our lives, how it is affecting our lives, and what we need to do about it. So I welcome to the show Ms. Kelly Gallagher.
Wow. Thank you, Filippo. It's an honor to be on your show, and I was so... I was on the line while you were... You were speaking and singing, and that was life-changing. Thank you so much for sharing from deep within your soul. Wow. But
thank
yes,
you.
I am here. Huh?
I'm actually still shaking a little bit about it because I did not expect that to come out. And, you know, that's what it's all about, being in the moment, I guess. And
well, I forgot why I was on the show. I was so mesmerized and so, you know, taken in by all of that. And really gave me an opportunity to, you know, shift and, you know, get grateful again for life. And, you know, because even though I've been through so much and I'm here to change and inspire and you know, help facilitate the paradigm shift, it's, you know, some days you can get caught up in the mundane, you know, dealings of life. I am a little under the weather. I have that little flu bug got me. I had to go for a checkup over at the hospital. I came back with the flu.
Uh-huh.
The good news is I don't have cancer and my heart's fine. So,
okay.
You know.
No more of that. And actually,
no more of that. But
it's interesting that our first time on radio, you're a little under the weather, because the very first time we met and you were a complete stranger to me, I didn't even know I was going to be meeting you. But somebody asked me to help you out of a car and up a stairwell. And I didn't know you, and the next thing I know, I'm carrying an oxygen tank and carrying you practically up the stairs because you had a million quadrupled, tripled bypass heart surgery. What was that? A heart valve?
Well, I was about to have a heart attack when you were walking my oxygen tank up the stairs because, you know, Filippo does not have a face for radio. He's gorgeous, and I was like carrying this oxygen tank and went, oh, no. But, you know, I didn't know whether to faint or to, like, run, but I couldn't run, so he carried my oxygen up. And, yes, I had just spent 51 days in Cedars-Sinai having a heart valve replacement and then, like, 3 weeks in a hotel close to Cedars because I couldn't breathe and had come through the worst war I'd ever gone through in my health journey, which started when I was 20. And, you know, that was 26 years ago. So but I was determined to go up those steps. I knew that, you know, somebody had said to me, you know, do you want to go see Dorothy and Filippo? And, you know, I was at Agape sitting in a wheelchair, and I don't know what, maybe I just went, yes. I had such a reach, and I didn't know you guys. But it was a changing experience for me because I was very, very sick, and I got a lot of healing, a lot of love that day.
Well, you know what? I'm going to give all that credit to Dorothy because I know that you and her did a lot of work together, and it is a miracle because I saw you actually at one of our live events a couple months ago, and you came up to me, and here's this beautiful woman saying hi, Filippo, and gives me this big hug, and I'm like, I'll take it, hi back, and it took a moment, and you recognized the fact that I had no idea who you were because you had changed or had blossomed back into your beautiful self from the shell of a woman that you were. And I could not believe what I was seeing. And so to hear you then speak at some other event saying, you know, that you were grateful to Dorothy for the help. And you know, that's just really a reflection of what this is all about, isn't it?
No, I recommend anybody who can see Dorothy, see Dorothy. It's a, you know, it's like an accelerator to have, to just get the gift of the communication and the, the deep intergalactic cosmic experience that she, you know, guides you through. It was, I think it really shifted my whole healing process. They weren't expecting me to be able to breathe for, you know, several more months. It's, you know, that's the problem. Can we talk a little? My problem with healthcare is the definition of healthcare, because it's things like the healing light that Dorothy provides and many other healers that aren't included in our healthcare plans is I think what's kind of wrong with healthcare. You know, we're connected. Our bodies, our mouths, our eyes are all part of a system, and the healthcare system is broken because they've separated systems. You know, did anybody ever think about that? You know, we don't have dental insurance, we don't have eyeball insurance, but they're the things that are closest to your brain. And so by separating these systems, there's no integration. And many, many problems that we have in health today stem from the mouth. And I mean, that goes back to, you know, ancient Chinese wisdom. And, you know, like every tooth corresponds to a meridian in the body, like acupuncture. And it's remarkable, the complexity of it, but it works. It's true. And so biological dentists have these charts on their walls, and you can go up to your tooth and go, that tooth hurts, and then all of a sudden you realize it was connected to the toe that hurt it, that hurt.
Yeah, interesting, absolutely. You know, this is coming from a woman who knows her stuff, because you have learned from the School of Hard Knocks, 26 years in and out of the hospital, so much so that you have actually outlived your insurance. Which is amazing, which is millions of dollars. So hard to believe that, you know, here we are, you know, getting this wisdom from somebody who has lived it and can tell us that there's something else we need to be looking at.
Well, I think in healthcare, we really need to look at the roots of the problem, and I'm about looking for the cause, and then I think you'll find the cure. Because I think what's wrong with many people and what we're finding is, you know, the rise of chronic illness is, in my opinion, and from the science that I've seen traveling the world shooting this film about mercury, is linked directly to heavy metal toxicity, which creates a terrain for viruses and molds, and, you know, then you've got chemicals and pesticides that everything likes to set up shop in this heavy metal environment in our body. So all of the critters that we don't want, you know, are held there by this toxicity. And I think it's what keeps people from having their, being clear enough to have their full, maybe cosmic connections too. It's like it really, mercury can really cloud your connection.
Okay, so you feel that one of the biggest problems is heavy metal toxicity, and one of the biggest culprits of that is mercury, and so that's why this movie that you've spent quite a while researching mercury. Now, those of us who don't really think about mercury or know much about mercury, where would we encounter mercury?
Well, the first route of human exposure, according to the World Health Organization, is your dental fillings. If you have a silver filling, it's not silver. It's 48% to 54% mercury, and they leak mercury vapor at the rate of 43 micrograms per day, according to the scientists that we've worked with. And mercury is more toxic than lead, so if you've got mercury vapor coming off your teeth and you're eating fish, which is now, you know, it's sad to say, and I really hate to be the messenger, but there is, most of the fish is contaminated, and much more than they're saying. We sat at the FDA fish advisory hearings when we were out on the road shooting the documentary. We were on what we called the Open Your Mouth Tour.
Okay.
That's the middle of the film, and we went to these hearings, and we listened to them debate not if there was mercury in the fish, but should they tell the people, and if so, how. So it was really alarming, and you know, for those that like to eat tuna fish out of the can, which, you know, I lived on tuna fish out of the can for a while. It was easy. It, you know, it was great Weight Watcher meal, and it's toxic. You know, they had levels of mercury coming out of these cans of tuna. We had these mercury vapor sniffers that would measure the toxicity, and you know, they would go off in really high levels when you wave one over a can of tuna, which is scary. You know, how many people eat tuna? It's cheap.
So you're not saying it's coming out of the can, but you're actually saying it's in the fish. So
it's in your dental fillings. It's in the fish. It used to be in thermometers. It was in blood pressure pumps. You know, if you broke a thermometer, you basically had a Superfund site. It's in the fluorescent light bulbs. It's in these new Save Your Carbon Footprint light bulbs, which, you know, I'm glad that they are reducing the carbon. But it's, if you break one, they are, you know, like a Superfund site. So you have to be really careful, and that's what they don't have on the box. What do you do with it when it's, you know, in 5 years when you're supposed to change the light bulb? So, you know, there's this, we have to read labels. We have to pay a lot of attention to details. The FDA just classified dental mercury as of July 28th of this year, which was a fight that all of the non-governmental organizations, the Mercury Policy Project, Consumers for Dental Choice, Oceana, you know, Greenpeace, all of these, NRDC, all of these great nonprofits, you know, did all this work, and then they took away the warnings for pregnant women and children. So it's like, you know, you think you're making headway in Washington, and I watch all of these people that I, you know, shot in my film do all of this hard work, and they just play hide the ball. So we have to, you know, we all have to be our own citizens of the planet.
Wait, Kelly, are you, that's for sure. And thank you for being that for yourself and for some of us who aren't aware of certain things. What are you saying is that mercury, of course, is toxic from what you're saying and what I understand as well, but that the warning has been removed for pregnant women? Like where? Where would that be? Or where was it before the warning?
Well, there was a warning up on the FDA's website that pregnant women and children under six, you know, unborn fetuses, were to, you know, beware of mercury, and they took it down. They just removed the warning. They buried it on, you know, it's on like the, I think the page on workers. It has nothing, you know, it's nowhere where a consumer would look anymore, and it's been a huge debate and a big lawsuit going on with Consumers for Dental Choice against the FDA. And now, I mean, I just met with Congresswoman Watson last week about the chairman of the commissioner of the FDA, Margaret Homburg, who was appointed and then come to find out was on the board of the largest distributor of dental products, which is called Henry Schein. So now this woman is, you know, on the board and making, I think they said owned $500,000 in stock or something like that. And now one step farther, come to find out her husband is a hedge fund guy and working on this issue also. So there's just a lot of details going on in Washington, and I think we all have to really look out for our health freedoms right now. You know, a lot of things are changing. And I want... Go ahead. Sorry.
No, you want to finish your thought?
Well, I don't... I think that we, you know, I want to be positive and have positive life changes, and at the same time, I think we have to be aware and open our eyes and, you know that the H1N1 vaccine has 25 micrograms of mercury in it, and, you know, really do your research. You know, get online and look at there. You can find it. What's in these vaccines? What's in, you know, how long have they been around? Are they approved? I mean, I think you'll find that a lot of this has been rushed.
You know, this is a night of firsts and a night of changes, but you know, we do wonder, get some wonderful comments on our shows and in emails and phone calls from fans and friends and family afterwards and on Facebook, and now because of you and the show, we're getting a text message, actually two that have come in, and one of them says, "Wow, I needed to hear this. She's great. I have been sick with vertigo and stumped at what I can be, at what it can be. I'm seeing a new doctor tomorrow. What tests should I ask for, and what kind of treatments?" I think this is wonderful. See what you're doing. See what we're doing. And let's answer that question in just a moment, because I want to make sure that we are focused on where we get this. So we get it from tuna and other fish or some other fish?
Well, I think the U.S. Geological Survey has just came out and said that most of the fishes in the rivers and the streams are contaminated. So, you know, they're really almost everything is contaminated with some levels of mercury, and I think it's just wise to limit your consumption. There is a website called gotmercury.org that is totally not affiliated with me, but I think they rock. They have sort of a mercury meter. You can put in your favorite fish and what how much you weigh and how many times you eat it. And it will tell you where you are on the scale of mercury toxicity with fish.
Wow. Where does this come from? Where do the fish get it? Obviously from the water?
Well, coal-fired plants. You know, there's hundreds of new coal-fired plants being created in China. I mean, they're building them as fast as they can. I was at the United Nations in Geneva in 2002 at the United Nations Environmental Program, and their global assessment of mercury. And it was really about the global transport of mercury, and not transport like you think, you know, on a boat, but transport in the atmosphere. Of course, they did cover, you know, boating and shipping and the moving of hazardous waste. But it's going up in the air from coal-fired plants. It's from mining. It's from, you know, dumping things in the ocean. It's from, you know, weapons that have been detonated. It's from a lot of things. In our wastewater treatment plants, it's the number one contributor of mercury to our wastewater is Dennis. And for, you know, $1,000, they could have a mercury separator that would keep that mercury out of the wastewater treatment plants, because they're not designed to be able to do anything about it. And I think it costs like $1 million to get a pound of mercury out of the wastewater treatment plants. So why not trap it and keep it from getting there in the first place?
Wow. Well, okay, so now we know where it comes from. It's obviously in our air, it's in our water, and it's in our fish.
Our food.
and it's in our amalgams for our teeth.
And it's
so,
in some vaccines.
Ah, really? Okay.
Yeah, it used to be in calamine lotion. It used to be in eye solution. It used to be in horse medicine. I mean, you know, God forbid an animal gets sick, and the FDA takes it, the whatever, you know, medicine has mercury in it right off the shelf. We should treat our people as well. So it's been in lots of different medical supplies. They have been taking it out of thermometers, they're taking it out of in the cars. They had them in, like, there's little meters in the cars that they used to have it. They don't have that anymore.
Okay. So how does it affect us? What are some of the either the symptoms or the diseases that have been measured back or found to be caused by or affected by mercury?
Well, it goes back as far as, you know, the term mad as a hatter?
Yeah.
Okay, well, mad as a hatter, the terminology came from the hatters.
Well, I don't know what it means, but...
Well, the hatters, the people that would make hats, actually, they pressed the hats with mercury, and they would go mad. So they that's how the terminology mad as a hatter came into being. Minamata, they had a big spill in Japan, and people came down with what they called Minamata's disease. And they had severe tremors and and deformities, and it was very tragic. Mercury poisoning can manifest in many ways, from brain fog to ADD to fibromyalgia to chronic fatigue to MS to ALS to Alzheimer's. The scientists that we've, you know, met and worked with around the globe have linked all of these, you know, illnesses, and are finding that mercury toxicity is what's present in all these people with all these really major illnesses. You know, and it's been a big game in the world of research, you know, to get, it doesn't benefit, I guess it doesn't benefit the powers that be to work on this mercury issue. I don't know. I think it's the sliver that makes everybody sick that the industry profits upon. That's what I think.
Okay, so now we know where it comes from, in at least how we get it in our body, and what it does for us. What do we do to get it out or to prevent it from getting in? Obviously, I mean, people are going to eat tuna. People are going to eat fish. So you're saying that there might be safer fish or less fish to start off with, or what do we do?
I think you need to limit your consumption, and you need to take things like chlorella or parsley or cilantro are chelators, so they're things that help to pull mercury out of the body.
Okay.
It's, you know, if you're going to eat it, then you should, you know, make sure that you're helping your system to keep it going out faster than it's going in.
Okay. And then for our water, I'm assuming a filter that also cleans out mercury out of the water.
I don't know. I don't know about cleaning mercury out of the water. By the time you get the water, I don't think there's any. I don't know about mercury in our water.
Okay.
I'm saying it gets into the wastewater treatment plants, which is our sewer water.
Right.
And our dirty water, it's a problem when it gets there. Whether that gets recycled back out to us drinking it, you know, I actually don't have that statistic.
Yeah, I think actually. I've heard some
statistics.
I'm so wrapped up in this that I'm trying to listen to you, and I don't even want to ask the question because you're so fascinating. Statistics that water is going from toilet to faucet in very short time. Very very little cleaning is being done, or not enough, obviously. Especially if we're talking about mercury and what other stuff, who knows? But in any event, filtration
water is just a huge problem. It's our, you know, that's the next oil, and already really is. So.
Right. And that's probably your next movie. But in the meantime, we're still on mercury now. And so then the teeth, the amalgam in our teeth, that stuff has to come out. And not just, it's unfortunate, but not just any dentist can do it, because as they're doing it, getting it out, it's affecting you because you're breathing it in, right?
Right. And you have to make sure that you go to a dentist, for number one, that really believes that this is a problem and that they know that mercury's toxic. Because if they just say, oh, it doesn't matter, then they're not going to protect you, they're not going to protect themselves, and they're not protecting anybody in their office, and you want to run. You want to go to a dentist that's wearing a gas mask and puts oxygen on your nose and does low-speed drilling and high-speed suction and has a mercury ionization machine in the room. And I think that, you know, because it's hazardous. Here's the deal. Mercury is handled like hazardous waste before it goes in your mouth, or hazardous product, and it's handled like hazardous waste when it comes out. So how they've conned us into believing that it's inert when it's in our mouth is, you know, a really great sales job, but it's just not true. It's just not true. It's hazardous before, it's hazardous after. So you have to go to a dentist, and I repeat this, you have to go to a dentist that gets that, or you're going to get sick, and you might as well just leave it alone, because you're better off not. Don't have it removed unless you're going to do it right. That's my advice. I had mine removed improperly, and I was re-diagnosed with Hodgkin's lymphoma after having been in remission for 9 years.
Wow. Jeez, yeah. Kelly. you've been through so much, and maybe hopefully that this is what we get for you having gone through all this, is that, you know, we learn from what you've been through, and I'm sorry that you've had to go through all this, but let me ask you then, once going back to our listener's question, what can one do to get tested to see if there's mercury in the system, or what kind of a doctor knows what to do with that?
There is a company in Colorado which is called Silver Scientific, and that company makes a mercury test. It's not really, I don't know if this test is available yet at your, you know, local doctor. It depends on what kind of doctor you're going to. But if you call up Quicksilver Scientific or go online, and they'll send you a test, and you can tell them that you heard about it on the radio with Life Changes with Filippo and Kelly G, and I'll see if I can work out a discount.
Kelly G.
Kelly Gallagher, Kelly G, huh?
You're such a rock star. I call you Kelly Gallagher, but I guess Kelly G it is from now on.
Well, you know, whatever. I was married to a rock star drummer, but that was in a different life. He had cancer too, and he and I went through a lot of the war together.
Famous one, actually, come to think of it.
Yes, he's the drummer for Pink, and I just got to go to the Pink show in Los Angeles at the Staples Center. It was awesome. And he's awesome, and he's an inspiration to many. He's out talking about, you know, motivating people to, you know, get up and make it happen, and out yapping about me and his story, and, you know, making people cry, and then, but, you know, inspiring people to do something and get up and take charge of their life, so.
Absolutely, and thank you for doing this. I know that you've been busy with like the Mayo Clinic doing something with the women's leadership for heart, this and that, and you've got a foundation. You gotta wanna. I spelt that wrong. Actually, I thought I was being real cool and spelling it all cool and stuff, and I wasn't cool enough, evidently. And it's the letter U, gotta, GOTTA, and wanna, WANNA. .com, very clever, and there you coach people on how to survive life and all that good stuff. But before we leave the mercury thing, when is your movie coming out? Do you have a date yet? Or is it next year sometime?
It's going to be next year sometime. We're really right now just fundraising so that we can go back into the edit bay and finish it. We're done shooting, and we have one heck of a story, so I hope to be out next year. Absolutely.
Okay, well, we look forward to that. I'm sure it's going to help a lot of people. I know it could scare a lot of people, and that's not your intent, except to say, hey, you know, forewarned is forearmed, and we can do something about it. What are a couple of the things that we can do about it? What do we do, write the Congress people? I mean, what do we do?
I think by finding biological dentists and refusing to have treatment on your mouth that isn't done by people that are looking at your body as a whole unit. The doctors and dentists that I go to work together as teams. They communicate with one another. They know how the mouth impacts the body and vice versa. And I think that it's time for the system to change. I mean, that is, I want to shift this paradigm of healthcare. I know that my mouth has been a big reason for my illnesses, all of them, you know. And I recently had open heart surgery. It will be a year ago tomorrow, actually, that I had open heart surgery. And you're right. A couple weeks ago, I got to go to the Mayo Clinic for Women Heart, which is an organization that is now very dear to my heart. And they are, you know, here to tell us about heart disease, and you know, that's the number one killer of women. And here, you know, we blame all of our problems on PMS and menopause. And in reality, some of our symptoms and what's going on are early warning signs of heart disease. And I want to be out talking about that too, because I think women need to, you know, pay attention and take care of themselves, because we're always so busy taking care of other people.
Well, Kelly, I get the feeling that you and Life Changes have a lot to do together, and so
Absolutely.
We'll be talking about all kinds of things. But in the meantime, we've been talking about Mercury and your movie, which hopefully will come out next year, in the beginning of the year. And we want to remind everybody, at the moment at least, it's called Pandora's Mouth, A Heavy Metal Misadventure. Kelly, your cool, your other cool site is Jammin' Planet. And again, that's spelled the cool way, J-A-M-M-I-N, like Nancy, and then planet, P-L-A-N-E-T, .com. And You Got a Wanna is on there, too, for those who are interested in there. And you've got, looks like, some updates on the Mercury movie and a couple other things that you're doing. And one more time, what was that place that you go to take the test? Do you have a website for that, or was it just the name?
Oh, it's quicksilverscientific.com.
Okay. Quicksilverscientific.com.
Quicksilverscientific.com. And, you know, if you contact them, let them know that you heard about them through us, and we'll work out a deal, and I'll make sure that that happens tomorrow, Filippo. And, you know, for whatever they're charging, we'll make sure that they get the Pandora's Mouth and Pandora Changes, Life Changes discount.
Wonderful.
Okay.
Kelly, I like you a lot.
I like you too, and I want to hang out. We have so many things to help change the world.
Yeah, we're doing it, babe.
We're doing it. No, I'm doing it one mouth at a time, and you're doing it one heart at a time. And, you know, I also just want to invite you to be part of, we're going to be doing a concert, a benefit. You Gotta Wanna Foundation, the Avalon, has donated their building, and my old buddy, Dale Bozio from Missing Persons, has agreed to play for us. And I think you need to be there and help run the show and MC or something with me.
You know, it'll be a pleasure. You just let me know, and we'll make it happen, and I look forward to it.
I do,
Kelly too. Gallagher, or Kelly G, no matter what you call her, she's a rock star and a great heart, and I'm glad they saved your heart, and now keep it in good condition, and no more of this, because we've got work to do, and we're so glad you're out there doing it. Thank you so much for sharing all this information with us.
Thank you. Big hugs, big kisses.
Right back at you. Ciao.
Ciao.
Wow. Well, another show of Life Changes. I guess I just can't say that enough. And here are some more changes to come up for sure. You know, it's interesting that Kelly referred to Dorothy as the accelerator, and she couldn't be more right on. I've been through the Dorothy's school of learning and healing, and she's an accelerator, she's an awakener, she's an activator, and I've been awakened, accelerated, and activated. And now we're all going to get to hear from her in the State of the Universe Address. So here is Dorothy Lee.
Thank you, Kelly, for being on tonight, and thanks for the kind words. I love you, and come fly with me. Tonight's message is for all of our listeners who feel compelled to be active during this time of planetary ascension and just don't know how to go about it. One of my jobs is as an ambassador of light, as a member of the Children of the Sun. If you're searching for a way to be a positive participant, assisting with a great shift taking place on our beautiful planet, then consider joining with those of us who are members of the Children of the Sun and fans of Life Changes. The Children of the Sun and I have similar guided intentions for unified consciousness and one-heart communication. These intentions are to align to divine will and to the highest good of all, to be motivated and committed to the mission of co-creating a new earth paradigm of expanded consciousness, divine equality with all people, global peace and unity, to focus on selfless divine service as our highest priority in collaborative activities, to move individually and as a group in absolute integrity, impeccability, self-mastery, and alignment to divine principle and universal law, to serve in heart-centered unity consciousness and embrace every person and situation in authentic love, understanding, harmony, and compassion. To consistently monitor the quality, accuracy, appropriateness, clarity, and perception of our highest divine guidance, to ensure the highest alignment to the unified mission and divine will, to completely detach ourselves from the glamours and illusions of this material plane of duality by integrating our personality with that of the soul and the supreme being, to embodying a desire-free and selfless state of neutrality, compassion, loving wisdom, pure perception, and knowledge that we are one with all energy and forms, to take highest responsibility for our own individual advancement into self-mastery through personal contemplation, spiritual practice, and resultant transmutation, transformation, and transfiguration. To have unwavering courage to face our own fears and mental illusions while honoring them, loving them, and then releasing them to their higher energy forms. To see only divine perfection in each person, experience, and manifestation. To move forward in unwavering trust and faith that we are totally and completely supported in all aspects and levels of our life experience. To honor our higher mind as connected to the one heart of creation, our unified consciousness, field of infinite potential. If the above referenced guidelines interest you, then please join me and become a member of the Children of the Sun, as well as fans of Life Changes. You can go to our website, www.lifechanges.ws, and click onto links, and you will find the Children of the Sun link. These guidelines are simply guided intentions, and although I'm not always 100% on target, I use these guided intentions to become the best me I can be. Until next week, please choose to love yourself enough to make very conscious and elegant choices, and always remember that you are the power in your world, and that you are love, you are lovable, and you are loved.
Wow. Well, I felt that. I can try and live by that, and I certainly do try. And maybe I shouldn't even use the word try. I should say I do, but I don't yet. But
we
do the best we can, indeed. So then I'm doing the best I can. And today's show, oh my goodness, from my unexpected breakout in this song on radio to our wonderful guest, to Dorothy's wonderful message, to knowing that we're here together, at least at the moment, every week, sharing these life changes together means so much to me and affects me so much and affects so many of you I know. I am so glad we are connected, we are together, that we are doing this, we are being the change that we wish to see in ourselves, in our lives, and in our world. And so with that, once again, I'd like to thank Kelly Gallagher for being on our show, and invite you to learn more about her by going to our show archives on our website and clicking on the link for Kelly or for any of our past guests. And you can also hear Kelly's show in the next couple days when we get that up and all the other shows that are already up. We look forward to being together again next week when we'll have another special guest. And remember that just because we only get to meet each other or be together once a week this way doesn't mean we can't keep the conversation going during the week by being on Facebook or going to our website or calling us or texting us or emailing us and staying connected, because it's for all of us that we are doing this, and we are all doing this together. This is one movement, one world, and one love. Today's show has been made possible in part by our sponsors, IonWays Water Systems, Change Your Water, Change Your Life, and Love and Miracles, and Dorothy Lee, of course. To learn more about them, visit them on our sponsor page on our website and click on their links as well. I am Filippo Voltaggio, and it has been my pleasure
and continues to be a pleasure being of service by hosting Life Changes today. I, along with our segment host and producer, Dorothy Lee, and producer, Mark Legere, and our engineer, Seth, thank you for joining us and being part of this show and being part of the change we all wish to see in the world. Ciao, everyone.
You have been listening to Life Changes. Join us here every Monday night at 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time and visit us on the web at lifechangeswithfilippo.com. That's Filippo, F-I-L-I-P-P-O. And follow our community on Facebook at Life Changes with Filippo. Join us here next week as we consciously embrace and explore the only constant, life changes.